with Mr. 1-2-3. Speaking one-on-one with me. We're breaking it down, play by play, it's how we do. Digging into lives of pro wrestlers, just for you. Come tune in and just relax. Jim Holbert has got your back. 5 questions with Mr. 1-2-3. Speaking one-on-one with me.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode on ThreeRopes.com. I am Mr. 1-2-3, Jim Holbert. Welcome back once again to 5 Questions with Mr. 1-2-3. This week, well, I wanted to go in a different direction. So I went and got one of the most controversial and outspoken local podcasters that we have here in Binghamton, New York. And that's the one and only Ian Daddy Bones. Ian Daddy Bones joins us today. And, you know, we get a nice little in-depth interview with him. We're gonna talk about his favorite Spike story. We're also going to talk about how he became interested in professional wrestling. A story that me and him have talked about many, many times. And, you know, I can't wait. It's going to be quite interesting. Me and Ian Daddy Bones started working together at 3DW Wrestling back a long time ago. He was the announcer. I was a referee. And we became friends there. Did many promos outside the old 3DW Academy. One that always sticks out in my head is a 3-shot promo that we did throughout the day that included my partner here in crime at 3ropes.com, Scott Fineout, as well as Little Daddy C. And there were promos throughout the day of where Little Daddy C was trying to get a hold of Scott, and finally at the end did with a horrific chair shot out across the street from Subway on Washington Ave, which we got the cops called on because 3 black guys were beating up poor Scott Fineout, and it was the only black guy that was there was
it was terrible, Jim. Terrible.
The only black guy that was there was Pat, who was basically just keeping traffic away from me getting hit holding the camera. But yeah, 3 black guys in the form of me, Ian Daddy Bones, and Little Daddy C beat up Scott Fineout.
No blacker than they come.
And it was just an absolute blast. And you know, even through all the BS that happened over the years between a lot of us, Ian and I still remain friends. Did some shows together out of town, and you know, he's always been a great friend of mine in this business. And I'm really glad that he had some time today to get with us. And you know, we here at 3ropes.com have extended a hand, olive branch, so to speak, to Ian to come join us here, and he did accept. And you'll be hearing an episode, the Binghamton Throat Punch, as he wants to call it, with Ian Daddy Bones and Scott Fineout. The first episode has been released, so check that out. And it's a great, great, great way to lead into my 5 questions with Ian Daddy Bones. And I had a blast, and I really hope everybody enjoys this episode. So let's see if Mr. Daddy Bones is ready for me to call him. It didn't go so well when we tried to call Little Daddy C.
Miserable bastard.
We'll have to wait and see what happens. So let's see if we can get Ian on the line.
Hello,
is Ian there?
Can I ask who's calling?
This is Mr. 1-2-3, Jim Holbert.
Oh my God! Thank God! I thought you were a bill collector at first.
Well, you've been getting harassed already. It's only 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you don't understand. They're coming after me because somebody ordered a vibrator in my name, and now I'm getting harassed, and it's a bunch of crap. But how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for making me laugh. I've been up all night working, and I'm glad you could join me today. And I hope we have a lot of fun with this, and you know, you're definitely somebody that I wanted to get on this show, and cause you do a lot. You're a manager. You were a commentator. You were an announcer. You've even wrestled a match or two. You know.
Don't let that get out a lot.
And you used to have your own podcast, but now you're getting back to it. We'll discuss that in a little bit. But are you ready for your five questions?
I'm definitely ready for my five questions.
All right. Well, here we go. The first question is the question I ask everybody, and that is, how did you become interested in wrestling?
I became interested in wrestling, obviously, like a lot of people. We first found out, discovered, got introduced to it when we were young. I've been watching wrestling since I was 5 years old, and I'm 36 now, so it's been quite an adventure for me being a wrestling fan. But, you know, fast forwarding, honestly, it wasn't until about the mid 90s when, ECW, WCW, WWE were all, you know, competing for everybody's attention. And it wasn't until ECW started making a name for itself that I started learning about the indie wrestling scene, started following the indie wrestling scene, like back in the day when the ECWA Super 8 tournament was in its infancy. And there were guys like Reckless Youth and Ace Darling and Cheetah Kid, all, you know, you're back in the day up and comers, you know what I mean? And so it was about that time in the 90s through, like, you know, magazines like Pro Wrestling Illustrated and The Wrestler and Inside Wrestling that always focused on the arena reports and the correspondence where everybody sent in the results of the shows. So, you know, growing up watching TV, you're exposed to WWE, WCW, NWA, but it was through the wrestling magazines that I found out about these random three-letter organizations that I never heard about before. And from there, you know, taking that atmosphere of getting introduced to the indies and then looking at how tightly produced the ECW product was at the time, it just had me thinking, wow, if we ever had anything like this locally, that would be amazing.
You know, and I actually got turned on to ECW through a writing class that I was taking. We were talking about violence on TV, and a guy started talking about ECW wrestling. And wouldn't you know, I went home to turn that stuff on that next night, and I just became a fan instantly. It was a great, great thing, and I really enjoyed it.
Hell yeah, it's definitely an experience that can't be replicated today.
Okay, now like I said a few minutes ago, you've done everything. You've been an announcer, a commentator, a manager, and you even wrestled a match not too long ago.
How did
you feel about that, and did you have fun?
Well, I guess when it comes, I mean, the overall answer across the board is yes. I had fun doing everything I ever got to be a part of. You know, looking back on wrestling, especially me getting involved in it originally, it goes back to the podcast that you talked about earlier. From doing the original Geeks podcast, I started learning about, you know, some local wrestling companies. You know, I found out about 2CW. I found out about ECPW. And honestly, it even goes back to Scott Fineout, because it was through Scott Fineout, 607media.com, that I read an interview that Scott did with Keith Zimmer about an upcoming ECPW show in Binghamton. And that's what, you know, originally introduced me to ECPW, and I'm looking back on it, and it really should have been the Pro Wrestling Illustrated that turned me on to ECPW after looking about its history and its lineage. But, you know, it was from the 607 media, or the 607magazine.com, I believe it was originally. It was that website that I read the interview that Scott did with Keith Zimmer about ECPW that pretty much introduced me to this whole local wrestling scene. So, you know, looking back on through that, you know, it was great. Keith Zimmer gave me an opportunity to be a ring announcer, and the only thing I had going for me as far as being a ring announcer was anything I was ever influenced by when it came to ring announcing. So, you know, ring announcing was its own thing, and then, you know, eventually I started managing, that became its own thing, and honestly, I like to look back on the two matches on that I was a part of as, you know, being ribbed, because I definitely was like, wait, are you serious? You know what I mean? When I found out, yeah, you're going to be in a 6-man tag, and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, that had to be a lot of fun to find out. And you know, I got turned on to the indie scene. I went to a 2CW show with my son for his birthday. And then shortly after, I was talking to our good friend Cage, and he was telling me about a show that he was doing at the Allegiant. So I went and checked it out. I had a blast. I met Keith. I met Corey that night, and I became security, did the ring. I did all that stuff. And we both started in 3DW. That's when you became the announcer and I became the referee. And, you know, that's when Scott Fineout came along, and, you know, and the whole 3DW monster that you guys did and everything else was absolutely great. Now let's get to the next question. This one's going to be kind of an emotional question, and this is something I'm asking a lot of the guys who grew up in Binghamton and remember Spike Norton. Can you give us a good Spike Norton story?
Yeah, and this is actually going to, you know, peel back a veil and basically explain why I haven't been doing my podcast for about a year and a half, and it has to do with my daughter Julia, who turned 15 yesterday. When Julia was about to turn 14 this time last year, my wife and I found Julia coming to live with us. Julia, my daughter's been going through some rough stuff. I don't know what the language barrier is on the show, so I'm really doing my best not to swear. But you know, Julia's been going through some rough stuff, and you know, and it's a lot of stuff no father should ever have to see his daughter go through. And let's just say, you know what, screw it. There's nothing to hold back. Bottom line is, March of last year, my daughter got raped by a 19-year-old kid that lives in Johnson City. Okay, so for the month of April, I had to play How to Catch a Predator and find the monster that hurt my baby girl. Now, during the stuff's going on, my daughter's going through some emotional crap that involves cutting herself. And, you know, it's kind of hard for me to talk about, but at the same time, it's good for me to talk about, you know what I mean? But how it pertains to Spike Norton is I know Spike passed away on a Monday when he got into his car accident. However, I know that the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that previous week, I know where he was staying. He was staying at a friend of mine's house, because he needed a place to stay while his car was being repaired and fixed. And let's just say my daughter was driving me and my wife nuts that our friend decided to, she was going to have Julia stay at her house for a couple of days so me and my wife could, you know, get some, you know, clear our heads and whatnot and basically have a couple Julia free days. Well, during the 2 to 3 days that Julia was staying at our friend's house, Spike also happened to be standing there, staying there. So my favorite Spike Norton story would be the story that I never got to hear. And the only story that I did get to hear was, I know that Spike had some really good heart-to-hearts with my daughter as far as everything that was going bad in her life, everything that was currently happening to her, and everything as a family we were dealing with. So, you know, with that said, there's nothing to smile about in Spike Norton's passing, but the only two things about his passing that can make me smile is knowing whatever the hell he said to my kid, I sure as hell hope it had a difference. I hope she listens to every word he said to her and lives by it, because those were some of the last words he ever got to speak. And the only other thing about his passing that makes me smile is the fact that he was recently remembered in a recent issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated
memorial.
Yeah, right. That's it. You know, so at least, you know, none of us are happy or proud whatsoever that Spike is gone, but damn it, at least he made the same list as Roddy Piper and Dusty Rhodes. So, you know, that's something we can, in a way, kind of smile about to take away the pain. So I guess that's my favorite Spike Norton story, is not knowing whatever the hell he said to my kid, but I hope it sticks and I hope she pulls her head out of her ass.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the thing that Spike was good for, is that pep talk. Whenever you needed that talk, he was always there to give it to him, you know, to whoever. And I'm glad he was there for Julia. And I thank you for sharing that. I know that's something you've kept bottled up inside for quite a while, and I appreciate you talking about it on my show.
Oh, it's more than been bottled up, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of like a center nucleus when people are like, well, why haven't you been doing a podcast? I got more important stuff. I got to be dad before I could be daddy bones. You know what I mean?
Yep, and that's something that people don't think about when it comes to the wrestling business, is that a lot of us have families and friends as well, and it's not all about wrestling and what goes on outside of your house.
But the biggest thing I've learned is that, you know, life can be over before you know it. Anything could happen. I mean, which is cliche, because that's what we grew up listening to Vince McMahon say our whole lives, that anything can happen. And unfortunately, even some of the bad things happen. And that's what, you know, looking back on the whole thing with wrestling, you know, I'm happy I ever got an involvement with it. And in the reality, I'm just a small cog in a giant clock that helps run a machine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I definitely do know what you mean. Now let's get on to a happy story, a funny story. You travel around with, like I said, our good friend Cage, Sean Carr, Axel Lennox, Rob Cook. I know you got some funny stories. Big Papa Chill, can you tell us one of your most outrageous stories?
Yes, the story gets talked about a lot, but. As many people know, especially if you go to Pennsylvania for wrestling shows, usually whether you're in, you know, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, McAdoo, usually whenever the show's done and the New York boys are on their way home, it's pretty much customary that we stop by Sheetz. Sheetz has become like a number one favorite amongst people, you know, coming back from wrestling shows. So usually we'll stop by Sheetz, we'll get food, and then, you know, we'll eat on the rest of the way home. Well, it was one time we were in Sheetz. It was Cage, it was Sean Carr, it was me, it was I.B. Green, Axel Lennox was there, I.B. Green's wife was there, and a couple other people were there. Well, let's just say, without, you know, going into too much detail, I had an under-the-waist piercing in a certain area. Okay, it's actually the name of the piercing actually shares the name of another wrestler, and let's just say that I'm also the recipient of the out of the nowhere nut punch. You know what I mean? Like I'll get sack tapped by like Cage or I.B. Green, or even Sean's notorious for it.
Sean has gotten me many times.
Just out of nowhere, minding your own business, and then bam, you get hit in the nuts, and you're like, "Oh God!" So, you know, I'm standing there in Sheetz. I ordered my food, and let's just say, out of nowhere, Rob Cook decides to punch me in my genitals, which wound up cracking the acrylic hoop that happened to be in said piercing. So that acrylic hoop immediately broke on the spot, and I felt it break. And right off the bat, I just went gunning for the men's room, because I'm like, oh my God, what the hell just happened? And luckily, nothing did happen, but that's pretty much the day the DOS found out Ian Daddy Bones is the Prince Albert.
Oh God, that's definitely one of the stories I've heard before. And yeah, and that's why I wanted you to tell one, because I've heard so many stories, you know, pertaining to soda bottles and things like that, but we won't go into that. Well, you kind of just answered my fifth question, which was,
yes,
when you leave a show, where do you go? Which is obviously Sheetz. We all go to Sheetz. We're all posting, you know, from Sheetz when we're there, and everybody knows where we're at. But when you
What do you usually get?
Well, see, we we always stop at the Clark Summit, where they have also have the Waffle House. So that's the one we stop at, and I actually like I get their 2-for-1 hot dogs. I'm a big hot dog guy, and then I'll get like a 6-inch sub. I'm usually the one driving, so it's got to be something I can eat while I'm driving down the road. And I'll get the biggest Mountain Dew Icy that I can get, and you know, and obviously some cookies and stuff to take home for the family. But my question is, what does Ian Daddy Bones get when he stops at Sheetz?
When I go to Sheetz, and this is pretty much my standard, I'll get the wrap. I'll get like the burger wrap. You know what I mean? Like, yep, cut in half. So I usually get the burger wrap, and then I'll get the appetizer sampler, because I'll get the jalapeno poppers and the mac and cheese bites and the matzo sticks.
Yep. That's a lot of cheese.
But I also make sure every time I go to Sheetz, it's always important to me, because it's the only place I could ever find this stuff. But it's Dr. Pepper barbecue sauce.
What?
It's Dr. Pepper barbecue sauce. It is like the spiciest hickory smoked barbecue sauce I've ever had, and it has like that candy, like that little drop of that candy Dr. Pepper taste to it.
Well, you heard it here, guys. Dr. Pepper barbecue sauce.
But it's kind of hard to find. It's kind of hard to find. And, it's like, if you're going through the menu and it's like asking you for your dipping sauces, I think you have to page over one or two times to actually see it. Because they got barbecue sauce, and then you'll see the Dr. Pepper logo next to it.
And that's all. What Sheetz do you stop at?
You know what? Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I know we stop by the Great Bend one, but I think with the routes that they navigate, going to whatever venues for whatever organizations, it always varies. You know what I mean? But whenever we went to GSW shows, you know, there was that one sheet that everybody hit up. And again, I don't know. I kind of sound like a moron because I don't know exactly what location. I just know it's in Pennsylvania, and we always hit one of three Sheetz usually on the way back. So
yeah, see, we always hit the Clark Summit one because we just know that that's where the Waffle House one is, and we know that that's where the Sheetz is. But I know there's a couple in Scranton and out that way and places like that. But you know,
I know I've been in enough Sheetz to where I've seen big Sheetz, I've seen little Sheetz, but then it looked like they completely mirrored their blueprint from the last store we were into, and everything's on the other side.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, people in New York don't know about Sheetz.
No, they don't. I mean, the only way you can best to explain somebody in New York about Sheetz is to tell them about the pilot.
Yeah.
Or what used to be the pilot.
What used to be, yeah. All right, well.
But then I'll close that order off with a bottle of caramel apple Faygo. The candy apple Faygo. I'm a big fan of that.
I was going to say, where's the Faygo?
Well, I'm a little disappointed because I haven't seen the cotton candy flavor yet.
See, I don't drink Faygo, but I know that their Sheetz is one of the places that I do see it at. And I know you and Glenn Post have an infatuation with Faygo. So I was waiting to hear where the Faygo was.
All yeah, right, just throwing out there, too, real quick. I'm glad he's making a recovery, too. So I've been paying attention to that online a lot.
All right. Well, it's called five questions, but we have an infamous sixth question. It's not really a question. It's more along the lines of what's up with Ian Daddy Bones over the next month.
What's up with Ian Daddy Bones over the next month is, officially I rebooted the original Geeks podcast this month. Well, last month, it's now February. It makes me smile knowing I have already did more podcasts in the month of January of this year than I did at all in 2015. So right there, you know, performance is over 100%. So I'm happy with that. But, you know, all jokes aside, I'm rebooting my show. I'm in the process of, you know, just talking with somebody about doing another podcast. I'm also in the process of getting some new shirts made, getting some new Ian Daddy Bones merch made, basically getting back on my feet with everything. You know, like I said, a while ago. Last year, I dealt with stuff with my oldest child that I wish on no father ever. And so it's pretty much trying to get in a happy mindset. You know, it's trying to do away with that depression and get back on my feet knowing what I'm good at. And if that's being a smartass on the internet radio, then I guess I'll be the best smartass on the internet radio I could be.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and that's a good thing. You know, we're glad that you're back out there. And 2016 is a new year. It's a new year for us here at ThreeRopes.com as well.
By the way, kudos and congratulations on that project.
Thank you very much.
I've been reading about shared links and whatnot, and speaking to mutual friends who speak highly about the project. So, yeah, run with it.
And we thank you and everybody else for their support, and hopefully we get you over here at Three Ropes Studios here sometime soon. The geeky pixel studios here that we have, the huge upgrade that we've got from Three Ropes Media and everything else, and I really hope you join us. Now, where can people find you online? You know, Facebook. Tell them how they can, you know, start listening, you know, to your podcast again.
Well, if you're interested in listening to the Original Geeks podcast, or as I've redubbed it, the Ian Daddy Bone Show, you can find it at originalgeekspodcast.com. If you want to subscribe on Stitcher Radio and iTunes, I would appreciate that, help getting the numbers up. But I mean, it's like Google. Just Google Ian Daddy Bones, and you'll find me on Instagram, Twitter. And I'm on Facebook like everybody, but I'm kind of not promoting the Facebook as much because they took my daddy bones away from me and they're making me use my real name. So I'm kind of not too happy about that. So.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. And you got a big match coming up with your boy Nick Napoleon. He's going to be in a cage match here at the Excite Show on the 19th.
Yes, February 19th. Both of my guys are in action that night. I.B. Green, Rob Cook, whatever he wants to call himself this year, has run out of excuses. He's run out of chances, and it's going to be a night he's never going to forget once he steps into that steel cage with Nick Napoleon. We got some ideas for Rob Cook from the offices of Disgruntled, but the chairman of the board, your former Excite champion Mark House, is not too happy because he likes to shoot for the stars, but the best Johnny Moose can come up with for our former champion is Axel Lennox. And I don't know what Axel Lennox's problem with Mark House is. I don't know if it's because he hasn't, you know, successfully been an Excite champion. That remains to be seen, but it seems Axel can't stop picking fights with people, and Mark House seems to be the latest on his list. So Mark House is just going to have an easy night on February 19th.
Well, the only thing I have to agree with you is that Mark House never lost the title, right?
No, he did not.
So
he was injured, and it was taken from him.
So he deserves to have that shot. And I think maybe Moose is just thinking, hey, let's give him Axel Lennox. Let's see if we can get past him, and then maybe he'll get that title shot again. That's what I hope. I'm a big Mark House guy. I always have. I loved working with the guy. Nick Napoleon, that's a different story. In my opinion, it's two midgets in a cage on February 19th, and which midget's gonna win? You know, but Ian, thank you again for joining me on this week's show. I appreciate you being here. I love you, my brother. I thank you again. And, I thank you for sharing that amazing story with us.
Hey, no doubt, man. It was a pleasure being on the show this morning. I truly thank you for having me on. Like I said, it's been a rough year and a half, but, and, you know, not trying to be cliche or sound like Shawn Michaels, but, you know, we all have that moment where we lose our smile and then find it again. So I could say I found my smile, getting my happy back, and this ain't the last you're going to see of me.
All right, man. Well, you have a great rest of your day, and we will see you February 19th at the American Legion Post 80. And that's it. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. I'm not sure who we'll have next week, but you never know. Tune in. See you next week. And we're out.
All good?
We're good.
All right. That was all right?
Yo, thank you, dude. That was awesome. You had me dying. I was literally crying at points in that, like laughing my ass off crying. So that was awesome.
That's good. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah, man. It was awesome. Thank you so much for the couple of minutes here.
Hey, no doubt. We'll definitely get up. I like this.
All right, buddy.
All right, buddy.
All right. Later.
Later. Later.